Hey, Happy New Year, retention and referrals family. You know, do you find yourself making business decisions just because, or the same decisions you've always made, or looking at what other decisions other business owners are making and assuming if it's right for them, then it must be right for you? You know, growing a business is really busy, full of all the things that you need to get done and want to do in any given day to grow your business, especially when it comes to marketing your business on social media. You know, and if it is, then you're going to want to download this episode on your phone, your computer, so you can listen to it multiple times. We sat down with Chad Brown and he shared his announcement to remove himself from social media because he wanted to create lasting relationships in his life and in his business. And he lays out his intentional plan of how he's planning on continuing to grow his business without the use of social media. So let's dive in, and we hope that you find a lot of encouragement and tangible ways that you can continue to grow your business from this discussion. We'll see you there. In today's crowded business space, how do you take the mystery out of growing clients who stay long-term and refer like crazy? And what is it going to take to set you apart from your competitors? What would happen if every activity in your business was driving loyal customers who want to refer other people to you, so it's easy to fill your pipeline with more leads, book perfect fit clients on your calendar? Hey there, we're Jody and Daryl Beckert, and you're listening to the Retention and Referrals Made Simple podcast. This is the place for people who want to build their businesses organically so they can get more sales without using any sleazy or awkward tactics. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here. Let's dive in. Hey, Retention and Referrals Made Simple family. Just want to say a big Happy New Year to you. We've got Chad Brown. He's here with us today, and we know he'll have some pretty insightful things to share with you. Just a backstory. A month ago, I saw a Facebook post from Chad, and he posted that he was making the decision to leave social media, and he had some reasons why, which we're going to get into those today. But Daryl and I are following in on this new journey of his, and we love what this is about, because the main driver of this decision is that it's all based around putting humans first. And which, you know, if you've listened to our podcast for any amount of time, that it's one of our values here at the Trust Method. And so we appreciate you being here today, Chad, and being able to start to see this small glimpse into your amazing values. So just thanks for being here. And we're excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh, I'm incredibly grateful. Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor to be in this space. Even just in talking before we hit record, you guys are so intentional about what you're doing on this podcast. And so that you would even invite me into the space to share some thoughts is an honor.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. We're so excited to get going. So before we jump in on the discussion, the main discussion, for Daryl and I, we'd love to get a backstory on who are you for like those listening, who are you and what do you do in your work?
Great question. I'll make it really brief, hopefully. So much of my story has to do with what I do now, and so it's hard to make it brief, but I'll just say this. So first, I am a husband and a father. Love my family. We are an adventure family. We live near the mountains, right at the foot of the mountains, and any chance we get, we are up there skiing, kayaking, hiking, whatever we can possibly do, camping, we're out there doing it. So most of the work that I do, other than serving people, because I love serving people, is to free me up and have some freedom to get into the mountains. And so that's at the core, that's who I am. Now, work-wise, professionally, long story about how I created a production company where we did branded work for brands like Target, Volkswagen, Pixar Animation Studios. Grew that really, really fast, figured out how not to run a business through that experience, which is a lot of the experience that I work from. And we can get into some of that. We might get into some of that in the conversation if you want to. But that really drove me to what I do today, which is I help men who are finding it difficult to both show up powerfully in their business and present at home. And I started, I this was my experience in starting a business and having it basically take over my life. It took on a life of its own. I allowed it to, and basically was traveling 85% of the year with small kids, babies at home, expecting my wife to take care of everything at home while I was basically an absent husband and father, traveling the world, doing my work, and telling myself that I was doing it all for them. Mm-hmm. Which was a really convenient lie to allow me to continue to set up my life this way. So most of the guys that I work with in what I call venture, which is a 6-month experience where we really go after the business first, getting things in order there, because the reason that most men aren't able to be present with their families is because they're stressed about their business and whatever's going on in there. And it's so fun. I'm really looking forward to the content of this conversation because my whole focus is in relationship. So I say there are no business problems. There are only relationship problems.
Yes, that's very, very well said.
So the first thing we do is we get into their business. We look at where the relationships are with their clients, with their employees, and with themselves. And once we get things taken care of there, then we can really start to focus on how do we be present for our wives and our kids. And that's what I do day in and day out. I get to talk with men and dream and set goals and achieve them. And then we have a live portion of the venture experience where we get together for 4 days and we challenge each other. We have meaningful conversations and we adventure.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I love the extreme intentionality around that. For those of you listening, I used to have a interior design business, and part of it was called intentional design. And I love that, like, you have the frameworks for that, for these families, for these men. We're looking forward to talking about that. So I don't know when this was exactly, but a couple months ago, you can let us know, you made a really key decision to, mm-hmm. and you made this announcement, and you actually made it on Facebook that you're leaving social media. We'd love, and like the viewers, or not viewers, listeners listening to this, tell us a little bit about that. And why did you make that decision?
So this has been a long time coming for me. I have struggled. I'll be honest. I have struggled with my relationship with social media for a lot of years. And there's this whole history I have with it and growing. We really were able to utilize it to grow our production company, which was so fun. But it was a different world of social media then. By the time that business was humming in a way that it was all referral based and we were doing the big brand stuff and stuff, we didn't really need the social media. Once it started to go algorithmic and endless scroll feeds and all of that kind of stuff, it's been a long, so once that started happening, all of the, I would say, like, addictive features. I mean, and I don't say that like as a personal experience, they literally have hired professionals that design slot machines to come in and also design social media platforms just to, you know, we all know this now, it's no secret. Yeah. Like, they are vying for our attention and they are going to get it at whatever cost. And for me, the cost that they were getting my attention at was no longer worth it. What I noticed was that I am so wanting to intentionally connect with my wife and my kids. And oftentimes I found myself in the same room with them with social media between me and them. Mm-hmm. And just noticing that pattern, not liking it, working to do things about it. And I was successful at times, and then I was super unsuccessful at other times. And finally, you know, I had played with this idea of like, well, there's gotta be, and what I made up, here's the story that I made up. Because it was the main source of leads for my business, for my coaching business, I made up that I had to participate in order for my business to be successful. And I told myself that lie for years, wanting to be off of it. And eventually I had some loving encouragement by my coach, and he questioned that story. And I'm so glad that he did, because the work that I do is inviting men to design their life like in every detail. Like if you don't want to be doing something, don't do that. If it has to be done, find a way to get it done that you don't have to do it, or forget about it being done and design your business and your family life and that thing doesn't have to be done, right? And I really believe in that principle, but here I was sacrificing and saying, you know, doing something that I didn't want to do for the sake of my business. And for me to honestly and with integrity invite men to do this thing, to take risks, to like let go of things, I have to be willing to do that and practice that in my life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I really love that. I really love that. You know, everywhere you look, it's like marketing tells you, you have to do this or this or this. And so I love that you're like challenging that story of like, that doesn't have to be that way. We can actually do something different than status quo. So that was one of the big drivers of why we wanted to have you on the show, because there's such a huge alignment between us in just because someone says, or there's a thing that
whoever they
tell us to do this, like this lie that you felt like you were living that you wanted to get off. Mm-hmm. Well, you get to do whatever you want to do to grow your business. So I just love that. Thanks for sharing that part.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it just came to a head. It actually came to a head at the same time as a big launch. And I decided to do both simultaneously. I did a launch and got off the social media at the same time. It was really big or started to ramp up. I've only been off for 10 days now with the day that we're recording this. I don't know when to go live, but anyway, it was time. And I knew that I wanted to take the risk. And I'll tell you, the challenge of figuring out how to build my business. So I've committed to double my revenue in 2022 without social media, and making that commitment and the challenge has like brought me up. It's brought pieces of me alive again, mm-hmm. that were dormant, that were mm-hmm. asleep, mm-hmm. which is really relational parts.
Yeah, right? I was going to say, do you have any specific examples of what you feel like is making you excited again when it comes to relationships?
Yeah. Well, when I was playing the social media game, it was all about like content. What content can I create? And I get that that's not a healthy way of looking at it. Not everybody looks at it that way. They see the real human connection in social media. I mean, look, we met on social media,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? So I can't,
it's not the evil one. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't deny the goodness that can come out of it. Like, I'm so grateful to be connected to you guys and be having this conversation. But at the same time, it's like, there's all of this other stuff too, which is the demands of the algorithm. And if you want to stay relevant or top of mind, the daily content and how exhausting that could be. And you start creating just content for content's sake. And all of that stuff was just like, it had really, I'd allowed a part of me to die, which was the meaningful communication part of it. And I was real on there. I'm transparent. I'm whatever, but I'm still writing and posting it on a little square. You know what I mean? And totally. or rectangle screen.
Yeah.
And, but I was explaining this to one of my good buddies. I've had so many people check in on me since leaving, which has just been awesome. Like, hey, how are you doing? Are you still alive? And one of my old colleagues reached out to me and said, hey, I just want to know what's going on. How is it going for you? All of that kind of stuff. And I, you know, something interesting that occurred to me as I was answering his question, I said, I allowed social media to be a crutch. I thought if I was writing a post and putting it out there, that could substitute for relationships or investing in relationships. Wow. Like, that's the value that I'm creating for people. I'm sorry, but like, I'm in an endless scroll feed of however many other thousand people they follow. And that's not how I'm creating value in the world. I create value when I connect with people, when I have a relationship with them. And part of that in me died when I was being a content creator.
For sure. For sure. We're actually doing a podcast this week around, I'm not going to give it away, but we're going to be talking about, and it has to do with content, how looking at defining our perfect avatar document, our perfect avatar that we're going to sell to, we're going to create content for, and how for Daryl and I, how that really, it's hindered our growth years ago in like, well, I got to create content for these people, like you just said. So that really resonated with me.
They say that you're supposed to do this, have this many followers, an email list of whatever, like insert all of the tactics. And like, well, I guess the part of me that is different, like, oh, I guess I have to remove that part so that I can fit into the tactics and I can fit into the algorithm. And so I'm really like resonating with what you're saying here is like the parts that we've stripped away are the things that make us unique.
Yeah.
And the things that, you know, that we actually would bring uniquely into a relationship.
Yeah.
But yet we're feel like we're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And I know people who can do it in a healthy way.
Totally.
Right. And are really good at it. I have not learned to be one of those people. Like it felt like a separate part of my real life. And that wasn't good for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be clear too. I'm not coming on here preaching. This is not like my sermon of like why people should get off social media. It's like, observe yourself and what you actually want or what you say you want. And if it's in line with that, then by all means, go for it. Educate yourself on what they're doing to keep you addicted to it and like mm-hmm. all of that kind of stuff. But aside of that, like by all means, do your thing. But for me, and I know there's other people, it just wasn't working.
Yeah, for sure. Some of the things that Daryl and I talk about a lot is I think as you were speaking, it came to mind that social media can be very much, like you said, put out content, say something, and then me as the viewer or listener or whatever, I'm supposed to like magically come to you as you say something, right? And for Daryl and I, we see it as like the opposite. My words on social media or my lack of words, they should almost be, I come to you as a customer. And so I think what you're doing is really, really cool because you're removing this mechanism that allows for all these people that just magically appear into your life, into your business. On the other side, what's going to happen is the goal is to create these relationships with people where you get to come towards these people with the right fits, the right alignment of clients and connections that you get to get to know, which is really, really exciting.
I think, Jody, exactly what you're explaining is part of another part of me that like came alive and like gets me excited about the challenge is like, I'm now out doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know
not
that
just
sounds,
talk.
Yeah. Well, and I know that sounds really weird, but like when it's all social media, I can be in my cave making posts and people come to me. And this is requiring me. I mean, like I went to a mastermind, a local mastermind. None of my clients are local. I went to a local mastermind last week.
Oh, wow. Is there such a thing anymore?
I know, right? And I sat at a table with seven other business owners and we talked about meaningful things. We looked at each other in the eyes and that was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. You know, and even in that, just in that one experience, there's one guy who is quite possibly going to be a client. And it was such an invigorating experience. And now I'm going to more lunches and I'm, you know, I'm doing all of these things and it's just, I don't know. It just feels alive again. It feels risky. It feels like all of these things. I don't get to hide behind anything in a conversation.
I think it really probably feels very vulnerable and authentic, yeah. Right?
Yes.
And what I want to point out for those listening is what's actually happening underneath this. So in Chad's case, it took the extreme, the intentional extreme of saying, I know that I can't manage social media well in a way that the real me shows up. So I need to do something different. This may manifest totally different for the next person, but what's happening here is like, an intent to connect with people.
Yep.
Like 1,000%. To be real, to, you know, get away from, I mean, I ran into this in my past career in photography, that it was a talk about an algorithmic thing. You post an image, you hashtag it the right way, you know, and it becomes a numbers game and all of those kinds of things. And brands wouldn't look at you if you didn't have enough of a follower base. So you're gaming all of these things where it's like, no, well, why was I sharing that photo in the first place? Because it inspired me and I was hoping to inspire other people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what has more impact? A photo that someone scrolls past briefly that was tagged right, so 5,000 people saw it, or 10 people really resonated with it and it actually made them change and do something different or be inspired to go take a different trip or something.
Yeah. Or you got to show content that
and have 100 people look at it and then it goes in the inbox with the rest of theirs, or you sat at a table with 7 people and had a real conversation.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what I was going to compare it to, is like taking that photo to a potential meeting with a client or a lunch and being able to show that photo and talk about why it's meaningful to you. That relationship going forward in the future, I believe, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's great relationships built on social media, but that relationship starts so much deeper than showing up in somebody's feed.
And it all starts with intent, which is really where I believe that you're starting with, is like, let's design our lives, our businesses, our relationships in a way that it brings out the best of us and it brings out the best of others. And not having a plan, you still have a plan. Mm-hmm. It's just the non-plan plan.
Oh yeah.
You know, the non-plan plan is that you scroll mindlessly for 2 hours instead of having a conversation with someone or your family or whatever.
Oh, freaking reels, man. They're so entertaining.
So speaking of having a plan, I'm sure you have a loose plan of what this is going to look like. Removing yourself from social media to do your marketing, to create relationships. For those listeners here, or people having the same thoughts as you are, having that feeling like there's got to be more, this has got to feel different. What are your plans? Like, give us a loose plan of what you are planning to do over the next couple months into the year to grow your business off of social media.
So I'm not a marketing expert. But
I think that's a great thing. I think if we all just walk around saying that we're not marketing experts, that already makes you an expert.
But as a business owner, all of us know, if you own a business, that's part of it. Like anybody that I meet that owns a business says they don't want to market and they don't want to sell, I tell them to go get a job. So anyway, but I did, you're right. You're exactly right. All of it was as intentional as I felt like I could be. I had a plan. I started putting the plan into place to leave January 1, 2020. I started putting that into place early November. And I'll tell you what my approach is. And I'm not saying it was right, but I think it's already starting to show its fruits. Is I made a list of everything that I love about social media. Like, what is it that actually enriches my life about it? And how could I recreate those parts of it somewhere else? Right. So some of those things were like ease of communication. I really loved, even Jody, even you and I were using Messenger to set all of this up. Right. I even left Messenger on my phone when I deleted the Facebook app, because there's just people in there that's like ease of connection right there, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things. Meaningful content, there's that word again, but meaningful, like expression of work and all that kind of stuff, I wanted to make sure I kept that intact, but in a longer form that fit what I wanted to do, not the certain amount of characters or the, you know, all the hypey things you have to do in a caption to get people to stop scrolling and all of that kind of stuff. So I identified a few things that really enriched my life. And then I just tried to figure out how I could recreate those in a way that wasn't algorithmic, wasn't on a platform that, you know, was vying for my attention and selling it. And so, you know, one of the things was, among a bunch of things, but one of the things was a text list, a texting platform. So I set up a number, that people can text me on, and they can opt into getting a couple texts from me a month. which are meaningful, well thought out. I'm not just like spamming. I'm not just linking to anything unless it's like a meaningful article or something like that that I found. But I thought, you know, that's a really great way to stay in contact with people in a meaningful way, because they can get something from me twice a month, not every freaking day. And, not 17 times a day in the mess of everything else. It just show up in their text, app, and they can text me back. It's really, really cool. And they do. It's been so fun to like put out a thought or some idea or some invitation and to get texts back from people and to have a conversation right there. Mm-hmm. It's been incredible. What I've found is it reduces people's anxiety about commenting on posts because it goes directly to me. Nobody else needs to see their comment. Mm-hmm. Nobody else needs to see their communication to me. We can have a real conversation person to person about something that I post. Mm-hmm. And it's been really meaningful. I've even upped the level on that to a daily text if people want to opt into that. Just as a morning, it comes every single morning, Monday through Friday. And it's a reminder to have this conversation or do this thing, or did you think about this or think about this quote or whatever, and have gotten incredible feedback there. So that's part of the plan. Updated long form content on my website is a huge part of the plan. I love to write. I love to do video. And so I thought, well, I would love to do longer videos and write articles about them and put them on my, I'm so sorry.
That's all good. What that does, I think, is then you're playing to the strengths of SEO, and then you can go into that world, and not having to worry about the people who want to search and find you, they'll find you.
Right? Yeah. And when I invite people to my, I guess I'm calling it a blog, which sounds so like 10 years ago, but when I invite people to my blog, what I tell them is like, read one thing, get value out of it, and then go do your life. Don't spend any more time than that. Get one thing, do it intentional. I love the idea of going to a place to get your content intentionally and then going away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then come back after.
Yeah. Come back later.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and worship me for 8 hours and do nothing about it. Right. Yeah, I think it's really what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I think we're drowning in information. So we don't have an information problem anymore.
No. We have an attention problem.
We have and an application, because inevitably we learn something, but then it's like, well, how does that apply to me?
That's right.
How does it apply to my goals, to my family, to my, you know, what? And yeah, how can we possibly think about that when we're bombarded by the next thing immediately afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else that has stood out that you definitely want to be doing?
Yeah, just a daily reach out, just an intentional daily reach out to human beings, just saying, hey, I'm here. What do you need? I'm invested in you. That's my favorite way to have a relationship with somebody. Like, I'm invested in whatever it is you're about today. Is there any resources that you need? Is there any encouragement that you need? Do you need a conversation? Whatever I can do. And that's been a huge shift in a focus. I mean, I was at some points in my social media time, I was posting once a day, and I wanted it to be good, meaningful content. So I would spend an hour to an hour and 15 minutes writing this thing, picking the photo, all of that kind of, you know, how many people I can reach out to and have a meaningful conversation with in an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So many for people.
Sure. Yeah. If you remember, you know, we had that famous Facebook blackout in the fall of, would have been 2021 when you're listening to this. And there's so many people that were like, oh, that was the best day of my life. And I remember thinking about that day, the day after someone asked on Facebook, did you enjoy it? And I was like, I did, but like, I did miss the connections. Like, I did miss that part. So it goes to show that, is Facebook or social media good for you or not? Well, that really depends on you, right? And that's why we're discussing this. But for me, it was like the missing of, like, I was missing the people that I talked to. Like, I couldn't DM someone to talk to, or I couldn't, I don't know if we could that day, but I missed that connection.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you
was down that day.
So you made a list of all the things that you really enjoyed and you benefited from social media, then you just get to like put them into a different modality. It doesn't necessarily have to be social media. And I love that.
I think it's interesting. I mean, you're obviously working with business owners, but social media has become so prevalent that we forget the fact that business had been successful for thousands of years prior to it. Because you couldn't imagine now not having it. Mm-hmm. And it is a new thing. It is in like well within our lifespans that this new thing exists. And yes, it's amazing.
Within a decade.
Yeah, like significantly in the last decade or so. So it's almost like handicapped.
Yeah, you know, it can. Like, that's what I was talking about I called it a crutch. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally a crutch. It handicaps you can handicap your thinking, and, or it really really takes you to a point where you're just all in on the one thing. And meanwhile, things like the interactivity of text message, for instance, blogs, being able to just read, watch videos that aren't not on a platform that's vying for your attention, but it's like, no, I'm on Chad's site and I'm watching this video as he's talking to me, and that's it.
That's right. Yeah. You're right on too. And that was one of the motivating factors for me. That was kind of like, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Because my mind went to, what did people do before the internet? Go do that. Right. And obviously I'm utilizing the internet. I'm not going that. I'm not like going away from the internet, but at the same time, like meaningful relationships, big business. I don't even want a big business. Intentional businesses were built before the internet. So what did they do? Go do that. Mm-hmm. And that has driven a lot of my in-person reach out. I've learned to extend a lot more meaningful and purposeful asks as well, mm-hmm. because it's required, right? It's not as easy to make a connection as like somebody hitting the follow button. So it requires me to ask for what I need from others that are in my network that I've built trust with over the years.
Right.
And that's been a really beautiful experience for me to ask those, to make those asks in a vulnerable, risky way, and for them to step up and be like, hell yeah, I'll introduce you. I know about this. I know this company. I know this guy. And man, that has just been unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like we've said before, it sounds really authentic. It sounds very intentional, and it sounds really vulnerable. And I think that's where marketing used to be, where, you know, without the internet or without social media, businesses used to just go door to door and talk to each other and have real conversations. And so we've sort of lost that, like you said, you know, we're like these little hermits and we're in our little bubble expecting people to come to us, when really there's so many opportunities that you've laid out where people, we can ask curious questions. We can go to people and say, hey, what do you need? Hey, how can I walk alongside you? And it sounds like that's what you do amazingly as a coach. Tell us a little bit more about, in our pre-talk, you talked about balance, either for yourself or the men and the business owners that you work with. What does that often look like for them?
Well, to have this conversation, we just have to, I typically like to just define some terms before we jump into this, yeah. right? So when we talk about balance, it's this idea that most people, most business owners have bought into. Everybody's heard it, work-life balance. Yeah. You got to go for work-life balance. You got to achieve it. Even Adam Grant, who I love, Adam, I love his content. I think he's brilliant. He even talks so much about work-life balance. And what I have found in my experience, both personally and with over a ton of clients, is that it's actually this striving for work-life balance. People can't see me, but I'm doing quotations. This
air quote.
this air quote idea of like this balance idea is like, okay, we have a scale and we need to balance these two things out, work and life, whatever that means, right? Whatever. So it sounds to me like it's, and that's the problem is we don't define a lot of this stuff, but like work is everything that has to do with work. And then apparently life is everything that doesn't have anything to do with work. But so do we have life at work or do we not have life at work? All of that sort of stuff. And you're taking these two ideas and you're trying to balance them out in a way that it pits them against each other.
Yeah. You have to take one, something from one and give it to the other, or.
That's right. Or if one needs a little more attention, then you should feel shameful about the way you're showing up at the other one.
Yeah.
And so that idea of balance, I don't ascribe to. Now there's this other idea of balance that I do. And you think about it, I don't know if you guys ever did this when you were a kid, but I did. When I was supposed to be doing my chores, I was actually taking the broom and standing it up on my hand and seeing how long I could balance the broom on my hand standing straight up into the air. Now to do this, you have to focus on the head of the broom. You have to keep your eyes on the head of the broom because the head of the broom is going to give you the information that you need of what direction to shift your hand.
Yeah.
What direction needs that attention at the moment to keep the head in the air? It's the way that I encourage people to think about balance is something very similar to this. And we have to define what the broom head is. What is the vision that we're working towards, that we're committed to, a future worth having? And when your eyes are on that, the shifts become apparent. This needs a little more attention. This little needs a little more attention. This needs a little more attention. And in fact, the feeling of balance, I think the feeling that people are going for in balance actually happens in communication, not in action. So communicating with your wife about your work in a way that's meaningful and that she gets to have some say, or I don't love that term, but like gets to be in it with you to make decisions, mm-hmm. right? Teamwork. Same thing with communication with your employees, that they get to be in it with you and make decisions and, you know, hear the inner, just an openness and a transparency in communication is actually what I believe people are going for when they talk about work-life balance.
Yeah. Moving from like me to we.
Yeah.
I this and you're this and versus like where's our, where's we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's really, really cool. I love the talk that we've been having today. I love these conversations, Daryl. I love conversations around moving from status quo and these beliefs that we think we have for ourselves and what is actually possible. So I love the alignment of our conversation.
Yeah. And just how accepting norms warps how we show up. This retention and referrals. Well, we work in our, you know, our work is in client experience. How do you actually work with someone so that they get success and they recognize what they achieved? And referrals, and how do you talk to people? Because people want to share, they just have been beaten down by the norms. And there's this beautiful thing when you're able to show up for your clients and be real with them. It totally changes the narrative, but it requires challenging the status quo, how you view things and what is normal and why are you doing what you're doing? And the beautiful thing is there isn't a checklist. I get this a lot where someone says, well, what's the best? And then insert whatever, right? Mm-hmm. What's the best? Is skiing or snowboarding better? What's the best brand of this? What camera is the best? What computer is, like, it's the wrong question.
What do I say to get a referral?
Like, it's the wrong, you're asking the completely wrong question because norms have, like, the industry norms or the mental norms have taken you to, well, there's this hierarchy. I just have to find out what the best is. Well, the best is all relative to what you're trying to do. And so there really is no, like, if you are vibing with what Chad's saying and you're recognizing something in yourself, perhaps something like what he's doing might be in your future, right? For a lot of us, it could be like, hey, I don't need to throw it away completely, but I'm going to change how I do it. And I believe I can have success with it. Awesome. We're doing the same thing. We're getting to the same place where we actually take control of our day and we take control of our time and we say, do I want to invest this in this endless scroll or do I want to invest it in people and relationship? And what am I going to do to be successful?
Yeah. That's so on point for me. Like you're speaking to my heart right now. I just, even in sharing this experience in real time as I'm going through it, my hope is that it will inspire people to examine the beliefs that they've created around social media. That's it. If I can get you to examine the beliefs that you just accepted as true and just see if they're true for you, then it's worth everything that I'm working on and you know, and sharing and all of that kind of stuff. And that's, I mean, that's my work. That's the invitation that I offer constantly to business owners is that, hey, let's take a look at the belief that you have that's driving your doing.
Yeah.
Right. What you're talking about, Daryl, like it's not about what you're doing. It's about the belief you have behind it. Let's question that. Mm-hmm. And if it still holds true, keep doing it. If it doesn't, stop. And you and I were, talking before we hit record, I think, I don't think it was re-recording, but talking about the difference between doing and being, choosing who we are, how we're going to show up in the world and with the people that we're creating relationships with, right? That's the broom head on the end of the stick. Who do you want to be? And that dictates where you spend your time, what you do, what connections you have, how you use your language, all of that kind of stuff.
I love your broomhead analogy because as I'm listening to you do that, and I have done that very same exercise. What I see a lot is that we're taught to look at our hand and we're creating like these set of movements with our hand that should keep that broomhead balanced.
Oh, because, so you know, good,
this is, man, the set of tactics that we are being given. But intuitively, if you've ever done this or something like this, you know that that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this perfect motion. This is what works. But then a wind gust comes up and that completely changes.
Well, Jody, wow. You did this for me even just a couple of weeks ago. You probably don't even know it. But when we started talking about having this conversation, I told you like, hey, I gave you some idea or like a sense of ideas of what we could talk about or whatever. And I said, you know, and I'm learning to, because I'm getting off social media, I'm learning to make powerful asks for referrals. And you were like, well, I don't even remember what you said, but you questioned the idea, like maybe, or we don't even talk about people making asks for mm-hmm. referrals. And I was like, whoa, now that's good. That's because everything I've been taught is like you're talking about, Daryl, is looking at the hand. What you got to do is you got to make powerful asks for referrals, but we're forgetting about what the top's doing and what our mm-hmm. actual purpose is. And anyway, that was just like an eye-opening moment for me, a blessing in my life from you that you probably didn't even know.
Yeah. So good. I love everything that you just shared. You've shared so many great things. Is there anything, any last thoughts, anything that you feel like you would want people to know that you could share or want to share?
Oh man. Oh my gosh. There's so
I know
much.
That's so hard.
I will sum it up all up to this. And it sounds a bit cliche, but sometimes things are cliche because they're true. And that is that we have the opportunity to design our lives. I truly believe that. And if we don't have the life that we say we want, the first place to look is how we're showing up in it. Not the circumstances around us, not the things that have happened to us. I get those are real, but also we can create results in those, right? And so my admonition to people is that if you don't currently have what you want, be willing to investigate what you're putting into it. Be willing to investigate how you're showing up, because the results that you have are a direct result of the way you're showing up in life. And so I truly, truly believe that. I know that it sounds cliche, but I've experienced it over and over in my own life and over again with my clients. And so even just becoming aware of not having what you say you want is a great opportunity to just observe how you're showing up. So if we're talking about relationships, we're talking about referrals. If you don't have the relationships and the referrals that you say you want in your business, how are you contributing to that? Like, what about, who are you being that's not allowing people to talk about you and your business in a meaningful way? That would be my, it just encompassing, because all, I mean, we really focused on my social media, and all of that is a result of me observing myself.
Totally.
And being aware of myself and where I'm not setting up my life in a way that I want it to be set up.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to summarize. You know, again, you said we kind of really went at the social media change, but really where that stems from is that willingness to challenge your status quo and say, hey, if what I'm doing isn't taking me to where I want, why would doubling down on it take, like, that's a completely illogical. So something has to give, which I think is a great message. If you are resonating with that, you're probably at a moment of like, something has to give, and chances, you know, you really need to examine where we're at and to have an idea of, well, what has to give, what has to change.
Yeah. That's very, very well said, Chad. So if people want to spend a little bit more time with you, or they want to get to know you a little bit better, what's a great place for them to spend a little bit more time with you, Chad?
They can text me. Perfect. I'll answer 844-479-0134. And I'll give you that number too, so you can put it in the description.
Absolutely.
You can text me, say, hey, what's up? How's it going? You can text the word risk to that number, and opt into my twice monthly texts as well. But that's the best way to be in contact with me. We can have a conversation there.
So that's, you're awesome. Telling me if someone texts you, you're going to text them back with real words?
That's right.
Wow.
Real human words.
Shocking. Well, that's awesome.
That is amazing.
That is so awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. That was really insightful. We have a lot of alignment here. I hope today that you guys all felt that this was very valuable. If you've been feeling like Chad, we all know this feeling of this work-life balance, social media, all the things, relationships. I hope that those listening today, I hope that you felt and you received a lot of value today from today's talk. So thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, guys.